Sigvatsson saw that the Saul was too small and narrow for even the children to crawl through. But he could clearly see the nighttime sky. The next day, he put several men to work smoothing the tunnel floor to ease access. When the opening was expanded so a man could walk through while standing straight, they found themselves stepping into a large meadow bordered by stout trees. The supply of lumber to build houses was limitless. The ground was thick with wildflowers and grass to graze their livestock. It was on this generous land, high above the beautiful blue fjord, bountiful with fish, that Sigvatsson would build his colony. In the following months, the colonists built thick wooden longhouses with massive beams to support a sod roof. Hungry for rich land, they wasted no time in planting crops. They harvested berries and netted fish in great abundance from the fjord. The Skraelings proved curious yet reasonably friendly. Trinkets, cloth, and cow's milk were traded for valuable furs and game. Sigvatsson wisely ordered his men to keep their swords, axes, and spears out of sight. With spring, Sigvatsson prepared to send out a large scouting expedition to explore the new and strange land. He chose to remain behind to assume the duties and responsibilities of running the now thriving little community. He picked his younger brother, Magnus, to lead the expedition. What was to have been a 2-month scouting expedition turned into an epic journey of 14 months. Sailing and rowing, except when they had to haul their boats overland to the next waterway, the men traveled on wide rivers and across enormous lakes that seemed as vast as the Great Northern Sea. 300 miles down the Great Waterway, they came ashore and launched a year-long trek through rolling hills and endless grasslands. Many months later, they came to a halt when they saw the peaks of great mountains rising in the distance. In awe of the great land that seemed to go on forever, they decided it was time to turn back and reach the colony before the first snows of winter. But when the weary travelers finally reached the settlement in midsummer, they found that the entire colony had been burned to the ground, and all that was left of their comrades, wives, and children were scattered bones. Magnus and the surviving Norsemen discovered that the opening to the tunnel leading down to the cavern where the ships were stored had been covered over with rocks and brush by the late inhabitants and hidden from the Skraelings. Somehow the settlers had managed to hide the treasures and sacred relics Sigvatsson had plundered in his younger days, along with their most cherished personal possessions, concealing them in the ships during the Skraelings' attack. Wild with grief and rage, the warriors collected the remains of their friends and families and carried them down the tunnel to the cavern, where they placed them in the ships. It was part of their traditional ceremony to send the dead to a glorious hereafter in Valhalla. Traditionally, the ships and their dead would have been buried, but that was not possible. They feared that the Skraelings would dig up and plunder the dead. So the saddened warriors hammered and chiseled at a huge rock above the grotto's entrance until it dropped in a massive spill along with tons of smaller boulders, effectively sealing off the cavern from the surface of the river. The ceremony completed, the Norsemen prepared themselves for battle. When ready, Magnus Sigvatsson led his force of 100 men toward the large village of the Skraelings, 3 miles distant from the massacre. There was no attempt at guile or stealth. The Vikings stormed out of the trees, howling like mad dogs. Nearly 200 Skraelings were slaughtered by the ferocious savagery of the unexpected assault before they could grasp what was happening. Quickly, in groups of 5 and 10 men, they began to fight back. Magnus charged ahead of his warriors, fighting two-handed with spear in one hand, gigantic battle axe in the other, both dripping crimson. He was what the Vikings called a berserker, a word that would pass down the centuries as berserk, a seemingly crazed man intent on striking terror in the minds of his enemies. He shrieked like a maniac as he hurled himself at the Skraelings, felling many with his flailing axe. The Skraeling village became soaked in blood, but still the Skraeling replacements kept coming, and eventually the tide began to turn. Overwhelmingly outnumbered and severely weakened from wounds and exhaustion, the Vikings were whittled down until only 10 were left, standing around Magnus Sigvatsson. The few who were left fought to the brutal end, enduring an avalanche of blows by hatchets made of stone, until they could endure no more. To a man they perished, sword and axe in hand. To the Vikings living in Iceland and Norway, the fate of Bjarn Sigvatsson's colony became a mystery. No one was left alive to tell their story, and no other immigrant explorers followed in their path across the truculent seas. The colonists became a forgotten footnote in the sagas passed down through the ages.